Well, I've been anxious to get up here. I've got a lot to say. Amen. And what we're going to do this morning is, I don't fool around here, I like to get right into it. Let's go to our Bibles, first of all, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I hope no one came here expecting a bail mass program. No poinsettias up here or anything like that. If you came here expecting something like that, well, you'll be as disappointed as a woodpecker in a petrified forest. We don't mess with that stuff. The reason for it is because the Bible condemns it. The Bible tells us not to be involved with the customs of the people, the customs of the heathen. It says don't do it. The book says don't do it, so I don't do it. No matter how well-intentioned a person is, the Bible condemns the action itself. It's intrinsically evil. The action, the custom is condemned. Nothing is said about the intention. In Jeremiah chapter 10, you remember reading that? Nothing is said about the intention. It's the act itself of cutting a tree and putting it up. That's condemned by God. God says, learn not the way of the heathen. And so we don't. We learn the ways of God. Anyway, enough said there. I think that if you don't know that whole story, well, we've got it for you. Amen. But it's a beautiful thing to just do right. It feels good to do what's right. If you're a Christian. And you know, the people of the opposite thought, they can't imagine how we could live that way. I can't imagine living like they do. Did you ever notice how they're sinning and having all this fun and complaining about it? I'll be glad when this is over. Oh, it's terrible. Right? And who capitalizes, and I chose that word, who capitalizes? The capitalists. The merchantmen of the earth. Right? Who's in charge of the merchantmen of the earth? The beast. We'll get into that shortly. Well, we'll get into it right now. How's that sound? Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'd like to open with prayer. Father in heaven, we come to you once again in prayer, thanking you for your word, for the spirit of truth, thanking you for the power of the Holy Ghost that's able to do a work within our hearts. And I pray that you would this day do a work within every heart of every person in this building and all of those that hear this tape throughout the United States and the other parts of the world. I pray that you would help us, O Lord, that everyone, O God, would be blessed by your word today and that you would strengthen our faith and help us to draw closer to your throne as a result of it. Let your perfect will be done. Help us, O Lord, to be encouraged to go out then and minister and to do your will and to take this message as far as we possibly can through the power of your Spirit to reach as many as will hear. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Now, you see, what we're doing here does extend farther than just the congregation. I'm sure you know that. These tapes are going all over the United States and other parts of the world. They get overseas. I hear from people from some countries way off in the middle of no Bongo Wongo land almost. And, I got one of your newsletters. I got one of your tapes. And it's coming from everywhere. It's just amazing. But anyway, I believe that's the Lord's doing. We have never solicited for readers or listeners. They always come to us. And that's fine. We provide at no cost tapes, newsletters, anything. This is a ministry. This isn't a business. Praise the Lord. And so we're just happy to provide everything that we can as we are able. Anyway, enough said there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the first verse says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Now, you might think by now, what does this have to do with Revelation 13? Oh, you'll see. It has everything to do with it. You see, we're still going through Revelation, and I'm going to finish up chapter 13 today. This is the eighth week on chapter 13. And next time, we'll go into chapter 14 of the book of Revelation, just so you know. All right? Now watch what he's saying here. He says, we have this ministry. I love it, don't you? Right in the midst of the beast system, we've got a ministry. They give us plenty to preach about. Glory to God. Verse 2 says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Can't you see a mason saying that? Oh, I have renounced the hidden things. Then he better break his oath. That's a hidden thing. Everything they do in their temple room is a hidden thing. Christians don't have things to hide. Christians don't have skeletons in the closet. The door's wide open. They repent. They've opened the door. All things are naked and open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God knows everything. Isn't that wonderful? I think that's great. All right? So we've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. They always call masonry the craft. The craft, right? Nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Scripture twisting. Lay it on the altar and put the compass and square on top of it, right? But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, if we have something secret about it, this is some mysterious secret thing. Notice, it is hid to them that are lost. Now let's look at those lost for a moment. Verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Why do people act the way they do? Why do they behave in the fashion that they behave in? Why does all this happen? They're blind. They're blind. There is a God of this world, as he calls himself and as the Bible calls him. The God of this world, not the God of the universe, not the creator of the universe, but a created being that is not God, is not the true God, wants to be God, has been trying to be God for a long time, still hasn't succeeded and never will. And yet he has massive religious structures and movements and numerous people, millions and literally billions of people following him, many times unawares. As Jesus said to a woman one time, ye worship, ye know not what. But we're responsible to know what we're doing and to know those that labor among us. Anyway, you see here he says that there is a God of this world that has blinded the mind. They may have 20/20 vision, but a blind mind, mind blinding. There is a lot of it and more of it all the time. And I'll tell you, it happens through religion, through educational systems. The universities were made mention of here not long ago by Brother Mick, who's talking about the university system. Of course, I work for the University of Wisconsin. And I'll tell you, you talk about blinded minds. They are blind. That's not education. That's indoctrination. I see it all the time. And the seven steps up in Freemasonry. Those seven steps, the seven liberal arts, aren't they? And you go through degrees of wisdom, the bachelor's, the master's, the doctorate. You advance through Gnosticism by degrees. There's always something a little higher for you up there. Always something to advance to. Well, I'm glad that the Lord just lays it all out for us and says, you're all brethren. You have one master. We have one God, one Father in heaven. He is our master. He is our king. All right? Now it tells us in the fifth verse, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Not worshipful masters, servants. Isn't that great? There is no hierarchy in the church. If there is, it's not the church. The pastor isn't a big wheel, he's one of you. If I can use that expression, big wheel. Come on. Anyway, I won't elaborate on that. But you've got all this thing where this guy's dressed up with a fancy robes and all this kind of stuff. Do you ever see Dr. Schuller? He's got that doctoral robe with a hood on the back. Do you ever see the backside of one of those? Got a hood on it, like the witches have. Right? It's occultism. It is Freemasonry. It's everywhere. You know, I talk to people and they frequently tell me, you know, since we've been listening to you, since we've been talking to you and listening to you and reading your stuff, We see it everywhere. They get all upset, you know. One guy called me on the phone. It's all around us. It's everywhere. I said, it was before you knew it, too. It was for a long time before you knew it. And it's not going to hurt you any more now than it did before. In fact, a whole lot less, because now you're aware of it. Now you know how to pray. I said, it's been there all along. You just finally saw it. Wouldn't it be great if the pastors all over the United States would just start opening up and just letting go and telling all this? Why don't they? You know, a number of years ago, I don't know if this is still true to this day, but a couple of years back, the United Methodist pastor of the United Methodist Church in town, I can prove this so they can't get me for libel. Truth is defense and libel. But the pastor of the United Methodist Church here in town was the Tyler of the local Masonic Lodge. Or should I say local Masonic Lodge. That means he's the guy that stood at the door, and when somebody came in and the initiate, the neophyte, came in to be initiated, he was the guy who held the ceremonial knife to his chest. You imagine the pastor doing that? What's that guy doing there, holding a knife to somebody's chest and bringing them in, initiating them into the first degree, bringing them to the east, from the west to the east? This is going on all around us. In fact, go down to the new library in Beaver Dam and look at the cornerstone there. Ancient, free, and accepted Masons. Sure. Why do they have their fingers in all the pies? Huh? Who's in control? That's the God of this world. And he's in charge of religions everywhere. Religions. Whether you realize it or not, Satan is a very religious spirit, put it that way. Well, let's continue on. He says in the sixth verse, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And once you've been there, once you've come to the face of Jesus Christ and that glorious light has shined unto you, you will see everything that is wrong. Nobody would even really have to tell us. What I'm saying is this. A true Christian would not have to be told, don't be a Mason. Charles Finney was a Mason. And he came out of it, and he wrote a book exposing it and telling the secrets of it. And he said, I could not remain a Mason when I came to Jesus Christ because it is satanic. He said, I could not be a Christian and a Mason at the same time. It's impossible. He came against it. Thank God many have come out of that system and have exposed that it is filthy, it is wicked, it is abominable. And I just want to hit it real hard here at the outset. You might say, well, come on, lighten up a little bit. I can't yet. All right? Let's look at the God of this world that is talking about that has blinded the minds. Let's go over to Ezekiel 28. You find a number of places in the Bible where it talks about the God of this world. Shortly, I'm going to go down and use the overhead projector, but let's lay a foundation first. Ezekiel 28. We're going over to the 11th verse. You see, the God of this world has been called by many names, and many times he has taken up a geographical headquarters. In other words, he would choose a certain spot, a certain city or place on this earth, and set up his headquarters there. And from that place, he would then run the world. Now, you will note here it's talking about a lament for the king of Tyrus. Now, you might say, that's just, Tyrus is the city of Tyre, near Sidon, a Phoenician city, where modern-day Lebanon is. That doesn't mean anything. Oh, yes, it does. As we read and you look at the context here, the content of what we're going to read, you will see that this is not talking about an earthly king or a human being. Let's let the Bible speak for itself. Notice, but it calls him the king of Tyrus. Why? There's a word that we derive from Tyrus. Tyrant. You see? A tyrant. Tyrannical rule. One that takes absolute authority. Did you ever see these pastors get up? I'm the pastor. What I say goes. Otherwise, there's the door. Everybody ought to walk out. You know why? That's the spirit of Tyrus, the tyrant. That's not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost working in a pastor says, "The Lord, he is God. We're all brethren." That's the Holy Ghost. That's the spirit of truth. Not this, "I say what goes. I'm running the show here. I'm the overseer." No, he's the under shepherd. You got to remember there's a shepherd over him. All right? And he can be replaced. Now, that taken care of, let's look at the God of this world. Verse 11. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." Oh, you look at the expressions of this world through the art forms and through all the philosophies. Does this world have a wisdom in it? Oh, yes, it does. Once you know the Lord, it's foolish, but it has a wisdom. Are there artistic people in this world that express themselves? Oh, yeah. About 90% of the composers of classical music were demon-possessed. Richard Wagner was a complete Satanist. Every year, Indiana State University puts on their, in every spring, they have Parsifal, which is all about the Holy Grail and all this Masonic nonsense. Filthy through and through. But anyway, you have to watch these expressions. Walk in some of these art galleries. Over at Oshkosh, I walked in there one time, and I was looking at some of this abstract stuff, and I thought, wow, I'm looking right into the brains of these people. This is what's in their mind. It's indescribable. I won't even try to tell you. But some of you, I think, know what I'm talking about. Now, notice something about Satan here. He's full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God." See, that's not a human being there. The only two human beings that were ever there were Adam and Eve. This is talking about a king of Tyrus. The king of the tyrants, you might say. "Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, topaz, and the diamond. The beryl, the onyx." Oh, by the way, the masons, that's their stone, you know, the black onyx. Their rings that they wear, the black onyx ring with a compass and square. When you go to school, go to high school or to us, and then later on go into a sorority or a fraternity, and they give you your sorority or fraternity ring or your high school class ring, black onyx, right? Usually. They're starting to change that a little bit now, but traditionally it's always been black onyx in the shape of a monolith, the square, little square, right? All right? Talks about the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. Now notice this, "The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created." Music. Satan was created with music in him. Now you look at the expressions of music nowadays. You see, all that was good in him became the very epitome of evil. And now if you go in and go into Shopcore, one of these stores, and look through the record albums, if you can stand to do it for a minute, with the 666s on them and the pentagrams and the hexagrams and the death's heads, the Jolly Rogers as they're called, skull and crossbones, all the different satanic emblems, all of which are used in Freemasonry. You wonder where it came from? Well, you have your answer. There is a satanic music. I don't think it's music at all, because by true definition, music is a series of sound that's pleasing to the ear. And as all you need to do to be a musician nowadays, a star, is contort your face, bite off heads from bats, let blood squirt all over, paint yourself up, dress like a bisexual, and go out there and have a lot of amplifiers and synthesize. There's no talent. There's no talent. They don't even have a voice to sing with. It's guttural. It's raspy. Have you ever noticed that in the presence of that kind of nonsense, and it's terrible, but I have to be in the middle of that sometimes because I go and work in dormitories. And, you know, I walk in there and your brain shuts down. You hear all this, boom, 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 you know, and all this is going on all the time, and you can't think. The reason they put that on is because they're amusing themselves. Amusement means when your brain shuts down. The word muse means to think. Amuse, with the A in front of it, means to not think. Worldly amusements, when your brain can shut down and you don't get a thought. And you wonder, you go in some of these places and they got the headphones on. And it's just, you can hear it through the headphones, just a pounding away. And they're studying, all right? When I was a kid, they always would go in the library, shh, quiet. They're in there, boom, 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 you know? And pounding away and just, they might as well plug the thing into the microwave oven and turn it on, right? Put the headphones right in there because it's frying the brain. Now, music, satanic music. Now let's read on. Briefly here. We're talking about the beast system and his influence in the world today. Here it identifies him. Verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub. There's an angel, see? The anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. He was anointed. He was anointed, you see? But he lost his anointing. And what does he promise to people? I will anoint you. I will make you Christ. Jesus said many false Christs will come. See, Christ means anointed. So does Caesar. So does Kaiser. So does Tsar. These heads of state claim to be also heads of the church. The Romanov family of Rome. That's what the name means. Right? Now, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the mountain of God. He's not there anymore. That's why when the Satanists get together, they pray the Lord's Prayer backwards. They invert the words. They say, Our Father which wert in heaven. That's how they started out. I won't tell you the rest. Too sickening. But anyway, thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect. He's not now. In thy ways. From the day that thou wast created. Created being. There is no dualism. We are saturated. It's all around us. This principle of dualism. The principle of the Tao, the yin, the yang, the good, the bad, the light, the dark, the hot, the cold, right? God never made it that way. There's so much to tell. There's so much to bring out here. I couldn't follow notes if I had them. See, I don't believe in light and dark and hot and cold. I don't look at it that way, the two extremities. I think I've covered this before, but briefly stated, I believe there's heat. There's much heat. There's less heat. Lesser heat, little heat, and no heat. Cold is the absence of heat. See what I'm saying? There aren't two extremes. One is the lack of everything that is there to make it the other thing. Right? Light. Much light. Lesser light. Little light. No light. But what do they teach you in the school? Oh, there's light and dark. There's hot and there's cold. No, cold is the absence of all heat. Dark is the absence of all light. You see? Damnation is the absence of God. But they just embed this in society. They drill this into people. We've got days. We say, well, today is Sunday and tonight is Sunday night. It's not really true. The evening and the morning were the first day. God had you looking from darkness to the light. Right? Tonight is Monday night, followed by Monday. That's a fact. The evening first and then the morning. You're going from darkness to the light. But the Gregorian system, brought out by Catholicism, Pope Gregory, had it inverted, turned it around the other way. Now we go from, we have our light first, but we always go toward the darkness, right? You know why? As the day departs and the sun goes west, you go toward the darkness, toward the east. They've got you going east, 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 see? In Masonry, it's, have you been east? Come east, brother, toward the worshipful master. All right? Now, we're not through with this yet. I want to get into the overhead here in just a minute. Notice what's being said here. It says in the 16th verse, by the multitude of thy merchandise. Oh, I didn't finish 15. Let me back up there. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. There is the explanation for the origin of sin. See, sin and iniquity are not the same thing. Iniquity is a condition of the heart, a generator, so to speak, that produces multitudes of sin. Sin is a specific action or abstinence from an action. There's two kinds of sin, commission and omission. Sins you commit, things that you do that you shouldn't, and there are things that you don't do that you should do. But all sin is produced, rather, from a heart that is iniquitous. Iniquity is just a condition of the heart that produces the sin. And iniquity was found in him. Satan became the generator, or Lucifer, as he was called, became the generator, the cyclotron, whatever you want to call it, for all sin. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, see, the iniquity preceded the sin, didn't it? Therefore, I will cast thee as profane, that's where profanity comes from, as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. There's pride. There is the danger of pride. He lifted himself up. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. You can become so smart that you're stupid, right? I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. You know, I don't mean any disrespect here, but I talk to professors all the time. And I've got to say that they may know their subject very well, but generally in regard to everything else, they're complete airheads. They really are. And I've never found an exception to that. And very, very, very proud, for they have advanced through the degrees of Gnosticism to get their doctorate to wear their Masonic mortar board on their head. Right? Just wanted to say that that spirit of Satan is a spirit of pride. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries. Oh, wait a minute. Satan has sanctuaries? I thought sanctuaries were in churches. They are. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all that behold thee. The Bible tells us that God is going to destroy him and bring him to ashes in our presence. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. God's going to destroy him. Now, can you imagine that day when the Lord comes back again and when all that's evil is destroyed? And Satan is going to take the God of this world and destroy that God of this world before the eyes of the world? Here is your God. Whew, ashes. That's what it says. And then what's left? All the big things they built and all the things they've done for their God. And of course, they say that they become God. Their God self is brought out through the tools of masonry, starting with the common gavel and the 12-inch rule, in case you're wondering where those things came from. The gavel, they use them in all the business meetings, don't they? I'm telling you, just about everything there is comes from Freemasonry, just about all of it. And I think what we'll do now that I've laid a foundation for this, and you can see the beast system as told in Revelation chapter 13. Let's look at some of this because it helps us to see as well as to hear. I think it's time to do that. I've got a good 40, 45 minutes on this left, and that's great because I'm going to need it. All right? I always run short on time. Oh, incidentally, I know this offends a lot of people, and it's not my intention, it's not my specific purpose to offend anyone. But a couple of these I'm going to show you has to do with what's going on today. I mean, today, the 24th of December. Now, let me also say this. Many times I will bring things out, and you might be sitting there, and you might think, oh, my God, he's talking about me. You know, I might bring out something that is evil that you may have been involved in. I know one thing that really gets people sometimes. I got some people really upset with me. I got preaching one time about makeup. How the witches use it. And they automatically thought, he's talking about me, I've got some on. And I wasn't referring to anybody, you see. I was just saying that it is that way. Or people who drill holes through their ears, right? He's talking about me, I've got holes in my ears. No, I wasn't. I was just speaking in general that this is mutilation of the flesh and witches have to do it. You see, a lot of the young girls that become witches today, when they go into the coven to learn the craft, to be a neophyte and learn the craft, they don't have to drill holes through their ears because they've already done it. Mommy and Daddy or somebody or Aunt Martha or whoever sent them down to the local cosmetic store or wherever, and they drilled a hole through their ear free. All right? Well, I won't major on that right now, but there's a lot to be said. One of these days I'll go through it in depth. But it's not, people don't see things as God sees them. God says my ways are higher than your ways. He says my ways are not your ways. And my advice to anybody listening to this is if you are involved, if the shoe does fit and you feel like you have to wear it, don't get mad. Just get glad, you know. Just say, okay, I've done this. If you look at my background in astrology and all the different arts of divination and so forth, I had to throw a lot of things overboard. I could have been offended and been sitting there in darkness to this day. But because I said, no, Lord, I will follow you. And people hit me pretty hard, you see. And because I said, Lord, I will follow you, now I'm able to understand that I wouldn't trade this for anything in the world. All the tea bags in China. Praise God. It's wonderful to just know what the Bible says and to follow the Lord. I'm going to back up a little bit from where I ended last time for the benefit of some of you who were not here. And I know we had this videotaped last week. We don't have that facility this time. But we'll pick up on that again. I think it's a good method to reach out to some people who cannot be here. It's a wonderful way to reach them. Anyway, I put this on last week. I want to put it on again. Sometimes the newspapers have some very interesting things in them. No, this isn't a gigantic coven. Well, it is and it isn't. These are Santa Clauses. All right? In Paris, a group of Santa Clauses pose in front of the Eiffel Tower, which is a big phallic symbol. They belong to a charity organization which plans to offer 800 TV sets and TV recorders to sick children who have to spend Christmas in the hospital. Now notice the hoods. What does that look like to you? See, that's the spirit of Baal Mass. That's what it is. Now this is all a part of the God of this world working, deceiving, and blinding people. In Europe, they generally show the old Nick, as they call him in England, the old Nick, which is quite a derogatory term, but they call him that. They always have him hooded in Europe. Over here, it changed a little bit. Anyway, in Washington, D.C., we see the National Christmas Tree. I thought there was a separation of church and state. But apparently, you know, when the religion is convenient, well, you have one. This is quite interesting because the National Christmas Tree was lit by President Bush on the ellipse, the egg-shaped geometric design, the ellipse. And it was lit by President Bush Thursday night. That was not this last Thursday, but the one before that. The 35-foot living tree has served as the national tree since 1978 and is decorated with 1,000 white stars. They might as well say 1,000 white pentagrams, or pentacles, pardon me. A three-dimensional object is a pentacle, a five-pointed three-dimensional object. Pentagram is when it's on paper. The witches always teach that to put it on paper will do no good. It will draw no power, but when it's three-dimensional, that's when it draws the power. That's the coven teaching on it. So I wonder what kind of power this is drawing. They've got 1,000 of them. Of course, they're looking at the age of Aquarius, which astrologically taught is 1,000 years, which is the new age as we go into the new decade, and they got 1,000 stars on it. Isn't that about the ugliest thing? Now, incredible. Just incredible. You know, I drive up the street in, you know, it takes forever to get on University Avenue where I live because there's so many cars going out to the mall so these people can spend all their money. And I'm sitting in their driveway and I'm thinking, what fools these mortals be. You know, they're all going out to spend all their money and try so hard to have a good time. They strive for it, right? Shouldn't be that way. Anyway, here's our illustrious, and I chose that word because the Masons always call each other illustrious. Our illustrious president with St. Nicholas, this didn't come out very clearly here. President Bush shakes hands with Santa Claus. Notice how he's hugging him here? You see that? That's not just a little endearment. That's a Masonic gesture. They have what they call the 5 points of fellowship, and then they whisper. You can almost see him whispering into his ear. You know what he's saying of the 5 points of fellowship? Mahabon. Mahabon. It's a death penalty to say it above a whisper. They call it the 5 points of fellowship. They touch shoulders. They touch their if you couldn't see it on here, but their feet are touching. The knee, the shoulder, I've got a diagram of it somewhere. I'll show you sometime, but they have what they call the 5 points of fellowship, just like they have a 5-pointed star. Mahabon. Mahabon actually, it interpreted, means the master's carpet. Now, what they mean by that is when they go through the third degree of the lodge and they hit them in the forehead with a setting maul, a mallet, they don't really hit them hard. They tap them, you know, and they fall backwards. They catch them in a, they call it a carpet. But it's what it is. It's a piece of white, sometimes white muslin or cloth of some kind, linen. Sometimes they roll them up in there and put them in a sarcophagus, a little coffin, under an acacia tree. This goes on in every lodge. It's ceremonial. Slain in a spirit, that's right. And they put them over. And they put them over under this thing, and then the worshipful master comes over as Hiram Abiff, the Messiah. Hiram, the personification of Lucifer, their god, comes over and raises them using the lion's paw grip. Now, the lion's paw grip is something you've all seen because it's taught to the Boy Scouts and all rescue-type personnel is the rescue grip. Trapeze artists use it. So they use the lion's paw grip to raise them up, and then they are said to be born again, and they are raised to walk in newness of life. That's what they're told. Right. Yep, they have, everything is done one notch, you know, there's always something secret in front of you. The people who are a degree above you always know more than you do. So anyway, this is Freemasonry, and there's our illustrious president, George Bush, with Santa Claus being portrayed by television personality Willard Scott. This happened Thursday while lighting the national Christmas tree on the ellipse of the White House in Washington. Now, I don't know what you think about this, but I know what I think about it. This man is supposed to be leading our country. He's presenting this big fake Antichrist that steals the hearts of the children away from Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." And here you've got a counterfeit that comes out of the north that knows when you've been sleeping and knows when you're awake and knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. Be good for goodness sake? Works? Going to get there by works? You're going to put your works on the balance scale of Freemasonry? See, that's one of their symbols too, blind justice, holding the balance scales. If you do enough good works and work your way up to it, you'll get in. That's their teaching. All right? Just completely heathen. Now, here we'll show you Santa and Mrs. Claus here. Some of you might recognize that lady. Would you like to see the rest of it? Notice the tree, Christmas tree in the background, as they call it. Notice the little wand there. Are you a good witch or a bad witch, Dorothy? Remember? Same wand that good witch of the north or whatever in Wizard of Oz had. Well, that's not exactly Santa and Mrs. Claus. There's the rest of it. This is Dennis Carpenter. He's a nobody. But his wife is the high priestess, Selena Fox, from Circle Sanctuary in Madison, just outside of Madison. Now, notice, well, she's wearing a unicorn horn down here, which means we trust in Satan for prosperity. See, she says, well, you know, we don't believe in Satan. We just worship nature. We have respect for life, all this kind of stuff. Here they have the lighted candles. They have the Christmas tree. They have the 5-pointed star. He's got his little hat on. Their claim is the Christians stole this from us. That's their claim. And you know what? She speaketh truth. They did. Okay. Yeah, well, this is the big time. See, witches celebrating the solstice, which happened at 3:22 p.m. on Thursday. All right, that's when the earth is closest to the, or pardon me. Yeah, that's right. The earth goes into perihelion with the sun, meaning the closest point. Isn't that something? We're at the closest point to the sun, and it's the coldest. Interesting how the Lord did that. But anyway, just so you can see that I put this, I couldn't get it all on one of these. But notice what's being said here. To show their solidarity with nature, members of the Wiccan religion usually go outside to celebrate the winter solstice, but Mother Nature wasn't in the mood for any party Thursday, even if it was in her honor. Isn't that great? The Lord froze them out. Okay? You know, if I could have written this, anyway, for the first time, members of the Circle Sanctuary Church near Barneveld had to hold their annual ritual indoors due to bitter cold temperatures and strong winds. The Wiccan religion, noted for its witches and pagan orientation, they like to use the word pagan. To them, that's a good word. That means pre-Christ. That means they are before Christ. See? So they love the word pagan. If you call them a pagan, it'll be a compliment. And pagan orientation has 8 yearly holidays, said Selena Fox, the high priestess of Circle Sanctuary. She said Halloween and the winter solstice are 2 of the most important holidays called Sabbats. Every Friday they have a meeting called an Esbit, but a Sabbat is 8 times a year. Now, it's interesting to note that the solstice time, which is generally the 21st or 22nd of December, according to all the pagans, and you can check this out, many. But what we have to remember here is that all the pagans taught that their god, Lucifer, or Baal, or the sun god, or Amun-Ra, or whatever name they called him by, depending on what country they were from, they all said that at that time of the year, during the solstice, when the earth was closest to the sun, that was when their god died and went into the underworld and rose again 3 days later, on the 25th. The 25th of December is Baal's Resurrection Day. Now, are they going to teach this over at First Lutheran or United Methodist? When hundreds of people come in and give the pastor a Baal Mass card with $10 or $20 in it, why, you couldn't afford. You know, it's the holiday you couldn't afford to do without. Anyway, their claim is that the Christians stole it from them, and they're right, because this existed long before Christianity. The Romans celebrated, they cut down trees. They had a priesthood called the Dendrophori. You've heard of plants called a philodendron, right? Dendrophori was a name given to these people that would cut down the trees and bring them into the temples and decorate them. And they'd give gifts and they'd have big parties. We know all about the paganism there. That's easy to prove. And it does make a difference. God said, don't do it. He's very serious about that. All right? Now, notice what else is being said here. Members have traditionally huddled around a bonfire to mark the coming of the winter solstice, the point on the celestial sphere where the sun is farthest south of the celestial equator, with chants and rituals. I don't know if you understand that, but having been an astrologer, I know exactly what they're talking about. This year, the group gathered around a table holding Christmas figurines. This is a coven of witches. They love this stuff because it's heathen. It's pagan. Candles and crystals. There were also index cards bearing names of people who had died in the past year that they wished to remember. The names included 14 women slain earlier this month in Montreal, actress Lucille Ball, human rights activist Andrei Sakharov, and songwriter Irving Berlin, some of their heroes. During the 40-minute ceremony, the 5 participants rang bells, sang, and passed around various cauldrons containing cards with written messages. The cards in one cauldron contained the world's accomplishments in the past year, another its failures. See, as they're working toward the new age. To a beating drum, the little drummer boy. Yeah, right? Okay. To a beating drum, members passed the cauldron of change containing cards seeking an end to such things as the AIDS epidemic, sexism, pollution, and the slaughter of dolphins. Isn't that number one on the list? We gotta stop that awful slaughter of dolphins. And kill all the babies you want. You can abort them right and left, but save the dolphins, right? Next was a bronze cauldron filled with cards of wishes for the coming solar year. The participants expressed a need for more religious freedom, racial harmony, and more recycling. Now, doesn't that sound wonderful? Religious freedom and racial harmony? Why, that sounds just delightful. It sounds almost as innocent as Americanism and mom's apple pie. But you've got to understand their purpose, their objective, is for a one-world religion and a one-world government. This is no little girls' club or little boys' club. This is a part of something very powerful. Although the ceremony, oh, by the way, I have a videotape that shows witches ceremonially putting on makeup, if you want to see that. It's liable to knock you over backwards, all right? Anyway, although the ceremony had the solemn air of rituals practiced by more traditional religions, catch that? Participants weren't restricted to wearing robes or other formal spiritual wear. Spiritual wear. I'm wearing what I'm wearing now out on the street all the time. I don't have any spiritual wear. When you've got a religion that has spiritual wear, you've got trouble. All right? Everyone, including the high priestess, was dressed casually. One man was sporting a tunic and red Santa cap. Why not? We are a contemporary religion with ancient roots, said Fox. There is no dogma. We're not codified. Their free-form spirituality has attracted people from all walks of life, said Fox. She estimated there are 300 practicing Wiccans in the Madison area, hogwash. There are thousands more than that. They understate it. Now, there may be 300 high priestesses and priests, but that's just the ministry. You have to deal with the congregation. There is a need for ritual in people's lives to help them connect with nature, she said. Well, they can have it. Now, last week I did show that this wicked system, here's the coven that in Salem, Massachusetts, very famous coven, run by Lori Cabot, the high priestess of Satan, or pardon me, high priestess of this particular coven. They're not Satanists. They're Luciferians. They're witches. And why consider something like this? What a bunch, huh? Why consider something like this? Of course, Kodak acknowledged they didn't exactly know what this was going across the... You can't see it very well in here, but these little forks of light coming across... I've got the original from National Geographic magazine that this came out of. It's blue. That's Regia, the principality of the occult. Major corporations contact covens and have them cast spells over what they're making to ensure success. I know that sounds ridiculous to a lot of people, but there are a lot of ridiculous people out there doing these things. And I'm just telling you that they are, in fact, doing these things. That's why these covens exist. That's why they're allowed to exist. The Bible says, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. See, I'm not saying that this makes sense to me. I'm not saying that this is a good thing at all. I'm saying this is what they are doing. When I'm up here saying that there are corporations contacting covens, that may sound stupid, and I agree. But I'm just reporting to you that they do it, that they mark their products with occult symbols. Now, I also put this one up last time, which I think is quite interesting evidence. I better try and straighten that out. I'd like to throw it away. But anyway, we need it to expose it. Some of you have seen this. Most of you have. Some have not, probably. There was a woman who wrote a letter to the Church of Satan because she had heard Procter & Gamble's trademark was the emblem of the Church of Satan, and that's not true. It isn't, but it is occult. Anyway, in this letter, the Church of Satan responded, wrote to her. It's signed by Jeremy D. Hall, second-degree administrator. Notice how he closes the letter, Regis Satanus, glorifying Satan. And he says on here, Dear Ms., I hate that. That M-S. Whenever I see a M-R for Mr., I'm going to say Mer then. No. See, that's all part of the witches are behind the feminist movement, by the way, if you haven't figured that out yet. In witchcraft, the women are always superior. The women are the leaders. The men are just the teachers. While the Church of Satan is an internationally influential movement, and there are quite a few corporate subscribers to the tenets of our organization, it would be quite unethical of us to divulge the source of our income. Wouldn't it be quite interesting if those opposed to the Church of Satan boycotted all of the corporate entities involved in our growth? The average consumer might just find that he had deprived himself of many of the basic necessities of life. The symbol of the Church of Satan depicted in the circular area in the upper right-hand corner of this letter is registered with the United States Patent Office and is protected by international copyright laws. We recognize no other symbol or logo. Regis Satanus, Jeremy D. Hall II, second-degree administrator. Down in this corner, you have the infinity symbol with a double cross, which, by the way, if that cross is slanted, that's called the patriarchal cross. If that's slanted, that is the 33rd degree of Freemasonry, the official symbol of it. Now, Freemasonry is satanic, all right? Notice what they're saying about corporations. Why would corporations send them major money? Because they're invoking the power of Satan to go with the products that they're manufacturing. Here's a little interesting one. I'll just quickly go through these because I have some other material to get to. Arm & Hammer baking soda. It tells us right in here, this book is at Williams Free Library, or Beaver Dam Library, if you want to get it, where I took these out of. See the arm and the hammer? The arm and the hammer there is not just some muscle guy. It says originally the Arm & Hammer trademark was used to identify the spice and mustard products of a company called Vulcan Spice Mills. Vulcan, there's your key word, which at the time of the Civil War was located on Furman Street in Brooklyn. James A. Church, the young man who owned the mill, chose the symbol because in Roman mythology, Vulcan was the god of fire, skilled in fabricating weapons for the gods and heroes. All right? You will find that these corporations mark their products. Some of this you might think is coincidental, but it is not. Now, the people running the corporations today may or may not know about this. I tend to think they do, but I can't prove it, so I'll present this as circumstantial. Okay? Blue Cross, Blue Shield. Notice the symbolism. Now, let's look at a close-up of that symbol. What's on it? The pole with the serpent. Of course, you find that in a lot of the medical things, don't you? The Cross of Lorraine, which is the upside-down version of the patriarchal cross. There you've got the lamp, the urn-type lamp, symbol of knowledge. A lot of universities use that. The Maltese cross, Order of the Knights of Malta, or the Knights of St. John of Jerusalem. They all use that. The maple leaf of Canada, the American eagle, the Geneva cross. And finally, the Latin motto, which means without God we can do nothing. Which God? Why do they mark their products? Because without him they can do nothing, right? I briefly put this up, too, just to show you something. Here's a top-secret formula, and nobody's allowed to see. It's in the vaults. Nobody can get in there, not even the government. And it tells us that the two of the mixture's ingredients... Oh, notice where it was up, mixed up. Let's back up. The tale of how a Confederate veteran and struggling pharmacist, John S. Pemberton, concocted the first batch of Coca-Cola syrup in a three-legged iron pot, commonly known as a cauldron, right? Now, you might say that's circumstantial. You know, it doesn't mean anything. It does to me. Okay? In his backyard is fairly familiar. Not so well known is the story about how the mixture was named. Credit goes to Pemberton's friend and bookkeeper, F.M. Robinson, who saw the appeal of an alliterative compounding of names of two of the mixture's ingredients, coca, the dried leaves of a South American shrub, and cola, an extract of the cola nut. And this stuff produces a lot of cola nuts. Now, I want to see the formula before I buy another bottle. I want them to open their vault, and I want to see what's in there. I'm not accusing them of anything except secrecy. And the only reason I know of for secrecy is to hide evil. I want to see it. Do you ever wonder, what do they do with all this cocaine that they find? Hundreds of tons. I never see any of it destroyed. Why don't they show you news broadcasts so we can watch them destroy this stuff? I want to see it. I heard a radio program one time, and there was an inmate called in from a prison to this talk show. He's a black man. He says, I knows what they're doing with it. This guy said, what are you saying? He says, our government's using it. He says, I never see it destroyed. I never see it. He says, I knows what they're doing with it. Some of these guys behind bars have a lot of time to think, and they figure things out. You see? Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. And Coke used that song, didn't they? And buy the world a Coke. Of course, you got to add a little caffeine so people think that that's what's doing it to them. See? Oh, it's just a caffeine. I got a caffeine high. Isn't it interesting that if you take aspirin with Coca-Cola, you get real buzzed? But it doesn't happen with Pepsi. I wonder why. Because acetylsalicylic acid mixed with cocaine will do that to you. And they admitted it. They admitted it. National Geographic magazine came out with that, and it's right in a big advertisement that it contains the exuberant qualities of the coca plant. That's what they said. I've got a picture of it if you want to see it. Anyway, Pam? Should be able to, unless it's in some kind of a suspension of some kind. Generally, you can trace it down, but if they have other things in there to block it, to cover that. See, they put some amazing things in your soft drinks. I was working at a Pepsi Cola plant one time, and I was surprised how much lye they put in. Lye. Not an untruth. Lye. Caustic soda. Yep. I was in a pastor's house one time, a UPC pastor it was, and his mother was visiting there. And she said, "Oh, first thing in the morning, I got to have my Coke." I said, "Do you ever drink Pepsi?" "Oh, that doesn't have it. I got to have my Coke." "Why?" It's classical. Anyway, okay. I had mentioned one time that I was sitting in a Ponderosa restaurant on the east side of Madison trying to figure out where Henry J. Hines, who was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, the Illuminati in the United States, I was trying to figure out where this guy hid his satanic marking. And I thought about it and thought about it. And I looked over on the table near the salt shaker there, and here was a bottle of Heinz ketchup, and all of a sudden it just hit me, almost like a setting mall. Just kind of wham, it hit me. It's the shape of the label. The shape of the label of the ketchup bottle, the Heinz label, is the keystone of the arch, Royal Arch Masonry. When you have, you can see it in buildings all over, as the masonry begins to curve on both sides, they have a keystone at the top to hold the arch in place. The keystone of the arch, the royal arch level of masonry, uses this symbol. And here they admit that this is, I'd never seen it before, but here they admit, and I think it might be on the next page. Yeah, it is. Talking about the same label. The original, it talks about there is a suggestion of its ancestral lineage in the shape of the new trademark. The original was derived from the keystone symbol of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, birthplace of the company. Now, that's a nice way to gloss it over, isn't it? What they don't tell you is Pennsylvania, called the Keystone State, was named for the Masons that lived there. All right? They're the ones that came up. See, these guys come up with all these names and trademarks and so forth. Here's one I'm sure you've seen. I don't have a Texaco one to put up there, but can you really trust your car to the man who wears the star? Here's the Pegasus, the flying red horse. They always mark their stuff. Scholars of Greek mythology know Pegasus as the winged horse that sprang from the blood-stained earth when Medusa's head was cut off by Perseus. See? Have to move quickly, however. Here's an important one. National Biscuit Company. See the oval shape with the cross, the patriarchal cross? Now, where did they get that from? They tell you. Here is what they derived it from, coming out of the same book now. The trademark's present form usually shows the symbol of a red triangle. This dates from 1952 and was designed deliberately to draw supermarket customers' eyes to Nabisco products, who in the 15th century Venetian Society of Printers could have dreamed that such would be the destiny of the mystic Colophon. There it is. They mark their stuff. Okay? See, you will find, as I show you these things, it'll come to mind, I've seen that here, and I've seen that there, and that's absolutely right. The Olympic symbol, the five interlocking rings, I covered that last time, too. The various colors, and they admit right in here that the purpose of it is to unify the world. The rings, or the halo, or the wreath, has always been a symbol of worship of Satan, or Lucifer, rather, the sun god. They don't believe in Satan. Now, Procter & Gamble. There's been a lot of controversy there. Procter & Gamble denies up and down that this means anything evil. But it tells you here, the moon and stars symbol may appear on more products than any other. You have to look closely to find it. But it is on a multitude of brands of detergents, soap, food and toiletries, including Tide, Cheer, Oxidol, Joy, Ivory, Comet, Camay, Mr. Clean, Dreft, Dash, Spick and Span, Crisco, Fluffo, Folger, Duncan Hines, Crest, Gleam, Downy, Head and Shoulders, Lilt, Secret, Big Top, and Jif. All of them are made by Procter & Gamble, a mammoth $2.5 billion enterprise, said to be the nation's biggest advertiser, over $270 million a year. The trademark is P&G's corporate symbol. It goes back to founders William Procter, a candle maker, and James Gamble, a soap maker, who established the firm in 1837 in the thriving Riverport of Cincinnati. Procter and Gamble were brothers-in-law married to the daughters of a local chandler. One of the major products of the firm was Star Candles, which packet boats delivered up and down the Ohio and Mississippi rivers. Illiterate longshoremen would chalk a crude star. See if I can find the other side of this thing. All right. Just bear with me for a minute. Here we go. On each case of candles for easy identification. Later, the star was enclosed in a circle. Then more stars were added. For reasons now obscure. Did you catch that? For reasons now obscure, a Neptunish man in the moon was added in 1859. A few years later, inspired by an old American flag he saw in a restaurant, William Proctor ordered 13 stars embedded in the trademark's firmament. Once, back when the candles were a major product, company officials decided the trademark was meaningless and had to go. The outcry from customers was immediate and loud. They said candles without the symbol weren't genuine. You can be sure the proposal was never repeated. The trademark has stayed even though the company long ago dropped its line of candles. Very interesting. Okay. Oh, by the way, that symbol that I just showed you here, 13 stars in a crescent moon, is a symbol of a coven. I don't care what anybody says. I know it is. Notice the unicorn horns, or also known as a cornucopia, which is Masonic. I can read to you right out of this book, if you want to hear it sometime, Encyclopedia of Freemasonry by Albert G. Mackey. I'm not supposed to have this, but I've got it, and a lot of other ones. It'll tell you right in here that cornucopia that people put out at Thanksgiving is satanic. It means if you put one on your table, you trust in Lucifer for your provision, that he'll provide you with food. Is that used very much? Okay. This came right out of the book I just showed you, The Patriarchal Cross. The Masons are just, they love crosses. Everything is the cross, the old rugged cross. They love that, you know? That song, The Old Rugged Cross, is there anything wrong with that? Much, in every way. You might say, what other awful thing is he going to say? On a hill far away, does it say there's a hill in the Bible? Doesn't say anything about a hill. Stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross. I love the one who died on it, but I don't love the cross. Because the Bible tells me in the book of Hebrews that Jesus hates the cross. He despised the shame of the cross. It's a shame. How can I love what he despises? You talk about an entrenched deception. People will fight. They'll say, oh, I followed you up to there, but when you said that, boy, you lost me. I don't believe it. I've had people just, they cling to the old cross, all right. They won't let go of it. We need to cling to the one who died on the cross. We need to love the one who died there, not the instrument that killed him. Many people died on a cross. I love the one who, you know, and many wicked people died on crosses. But there is one who died on the cross that I give my heart, soul, and mind to, and not the object he was nailed to, you see? But notice this, the patriarchal cross, a cross, the upright piece being twice crossed, the upper arm shorter than the lower. It is so called because it is born before a patriarch in the Roman church. This is a Masonic book, all right? It is the insignia of the officers of the grand encampment of the Knights Templars of the United States. Knights Templars of the United States? Weren't they way back there in the Dark Ages? Oh, we got them yet. They're Masons. The same cross placed on a slant is the insignia of all possessors of the 33rd degree in the ancient and accepted Scottish Rite. Now, with that in mind, I want to show you this. Take a very important word that they like to use, the word eon. Okay? The word eon. That means a long but indefinite period of time, such as a new age, the new eon that we are coming to. The new age, right? Now you take that word eon, and you take the symbol on a slant that I just showed you. We just read it out of there, and look what you come up with. Okay? 33rd degree of masonry, you come up with Exxon. Do you ever wonder why they put the one little X above the big X? This is the symbol of the 33rd degree of the Scottish Rite, Exxon. Now when you start watching for these things, you're going to see this everywhere. Here's another little deal. One of my little girls, Jane, saw this symbol the other day on something. And she said, oh, that's terrible. That's bad. These little ones pick this up, you know. But this circle, that's called the ecology symbol. A circle with a diagonal line through it, that comes from the Dark Ages, too. It means God sleeps. God sleeps. My Bible says that our God never slumbers or sleeps. Here's a real dandy for you. Vassar students wearing the mortar boards. And there's the crow's foot, the peace symbol. There's another evil, very evil one, called the broken cross, where you turn a cross upside down, break it, downward. Even though the cross itself is a phallic symbol and is evil, here in direct challenge to God, they turn it upside down, break it downward. I see one gal there has it upside down. Okay. Now, one of the most important things in the occult, I better turn this over so you can see it, is the pyramid. And they go way back to the religion of Egypt. This masonry and the Shriners are very big in this. The reason they really go for this pyramid thing is because of the geometry of it. In the second degree of Freemasonry, they tell you that the G, the big G by the compass and square, stands for geometry. Of course, in the first degree, they told you it stood for God. Then the second degree, they say, no, we really lied to you. It really stands for geometry. Then in the third degree, they say, no, we lied to you again. It really wasn't geometry. It really means generative power or reproductive power. But the pyramid itself is some very interesting, it's an interesting piece of masonry there. Stoneworking. What they did is, for one thing, they squared the circle, and then they cubed the sphere with the pyramid. And you'll find that in Washington, D.C., in the House of the Temple, that they have a pyramid on the roof, a truncated one, just like you have on the back of the dollar bill. Now, since the pyramid is so sacred to them, notice some of these things and how it's used. Pilgrim's Progress, an esoteric tribunal for world disciples. If you don't think we're near to the coming of the Lord, I urge you to think again. Here at the full moon in August, see, that's when the witches celebrate a lot, is the full moon. The Bible tells us to mark the new moon, not the full moon. Israel marked the new moon. It's opposite again, isn't it? Just look at this. This is a very interesting little tribunal for world disciples that they're putting together so everybody can join up. But notice their diagram there. It has their logo. It's a pyramid or triangle. Let's give you a few more of these very quickly. Here's a little mini-series for television, The Phoenix. Where's the phoenix coming out of? Lo and behold, it's coming out of a pyramid. Things that people watch in their homes, books they read, everything, it's all over, isn't it? They're just throwing this pyramid at us, this triangle. Every place you look, they're throwing triangles at us. Now, if you don't think so, let's look at some more of them. Be at Ease. Pyramid Safe Deposit Box Company Incorporated. And there's the little eye looking at you. See? The eye of Horus. Here this guy is looking through into the computer, and he's that eye. See? There's an all-seeing eye watching you, right? Well, God's not a cyclops, so it can't be God. Okay? My, look at these. Do you see any pyramids being thrown at us here? All over the place. It's kind of too bad we're not videotaping this, because people that hear the audio aren't going to get very much out of this portion. But we have the National Westminster Bank, and they have, see the pyramid, interesting design, isn't it? Union Planters National Bank, Monsanto. Why, what would Paul Harvey say? He advertises for them. Bankers Trust Company, Bancroft, Voss International Corporation. Why all these pyramids? Look at this one. Your lockbox image is our business, AOM Corporation. And notice it's truncated, isn't it? That's the Illuministic Pyramid. Okay? Here's a few more of them. Where do I begin? Well, this is an interesting one down here, RKO General. I want to show you that one particularly. Notice the lightning bolt coming into the pyramid. Now, there are two kinds of pyramids. This is the male pyramid. This is the female. When you put the two pyramids together, it forms a six-pointed star. See the light, the dark, the good, the bad, the positive, the negative, the dualism, that there are two gods, one good, one evil, two sides of the force. See, this lightning bolt in the female pyramid indicates the generative power once again. Now, you look in the back of your radio, if you have one at home or whatever electronic device you've got, you might see that emblem, okay? But see how this is being used? Just about everywhere. Okay, here are a few more. International Conference on Family Therapy Training, Washington, D.C. Interlocking triangles, the pyramids. All right, I'll try to, Jewish Board of Family and Children Services. Okay, here's an interesting one. Expo 85. This is very interesting when you got two halos with the sun all enclosed in a male pyramid or triangle. Here's a postage stamp with a rising sun with a triple halo around it with a phallic symbol coming up here. Good old U.S. Postal Service. I wonder who designed that one. Okay. National Communications Center. There's another one there with the eagle or phoenix in it. Here's one you recognize some of these, I'm sure. Why does the YMCA cut their Y in half and turn it into a female pyramid. I wonder who thought that one up. Do you think all these could be coincidental, or is there some kind of a common scheme here in this new age? What are the odds that this could all be coincidental? All right. National Arthritis Foundation, Campfire, National Institute of Health, National Citizens Coalition, they've all got to have the pyramid. Okay? There's a dandy. Linked together like a chain. All these pyramids coming out of the Saudi Research and Development Corporation Limited. Just Trintex, Domes America. So many of them. Okay, here's one you'll spot some of these right away. Bausch & Lomb, Delta Books, Citgo Motor Oil, Mesa Petroleum Company. On and on, there's so many. 20th Century Plastics. They can even make it into a tree. Isn't that cute? Okay. All right. I just got a couple more of these. You've heard of the Guardian Angels that patrol the streets. How'd you like him coming to your aid? Huh? I'd rather take my chances with a crook. You know? But notice their emblem. They got the wings coming off from this. They got the sunburst. This is in the form of the symbol used by Chrysler Corporation. The five-sided pentagram. Or pardon me, the pentagon. Then you've got the triangle in here, and you've got the eye. There's your guardian angel set up. Oh, Mata Maitreya, the mother of the world. Come and join us in aiding the Christ to bring peace and enlightenment to Mother Earth. Of course, when you go to college and you graduate with your degree, don't you have a bountiful mother, an alma mater? That's what alma mater means, bountiful mother. Yeah, that's sure. Sure, that's right. Okay, now, here's just a few more. Oh, this you find these a lot of times in the back of astrology magazines and things, but now you can even find them in some real, you know, good housekeeping and some of these others. The Rosicrucians, the Order of the Rose Cross, which is what the word means. It is extremely satanic. Southwestern College of Life Sciences, New Mexico School of Natural Therapeutics, Healing Hands, right? You might say, what's that? I got one of those. The plus system, right? Okay, little MasterCard. By the way, they love charge cards because they can keep track of everything you're buying. Here's Visa. Now you have the V1 in Roman numerals is 6. The S in Greek stigma is 6. And an A in English is 6, the numerical equivalent. So you've got 666 just right in the name there, in Visa. They always mark this stuff. Okay. I think you've probably seen enough by now to know, oh, that's a dandy, isn't it? If mine never did that, I'd junk it. Okay, my computer ever had something like that on a screen, I know where I'd put it. Now, just a few more. As you can see, there are many. Alcoa, there's another one. Alcoa is the company that came up with all the fluoride waste that they now use in your toothpaste and water supplies. They didn't know what to do with it. They threw it in fields. It killed all the plants. They threw it in water. It killed everything in there. So they put it in our drinking water to save the environment. And some, to make sure that in the casket we have a beautiful set of teeth. Now, the Christian family, thriving in secular America. Let me ask you, is the Christian family thriving in secular America? They think so. New Life Presbyterian Church. See all the little, here's the male. But notice, they got the female triangle under the male. And the male triangle for the female. And there's a little kitties, too. That's an old Masonic principle called, their god, they say, is an androgynous god. He's both male and female. He or she or the he-she or whatever it is. All right. Yeah, their architecture is really giving it away. That's the last one I've got on the pyramid section, but that's another example. Notice this one has the sphere, the orb in the middle of it. Now, why? I've shown you pictures. There are over 100 here. Different. In fact, I think there are close to 200 different ones. What is going on in this country? Well, we covered it quite well, I think, in that in the book of Revelation, talking about a beast system. Now, I'm going to go on into chapter 14 next week. I do have more transparencies I'm going to use next week, however, because I want to get a little bit into the New Age movement. And then that'll probably complete the transparency series. And you have a lot of people influencing a lot of other people, such as this young lady here. This came right out of the Madison newspaper. But I'll cover some of this New Age system next time. And A Date with the Gods. That's Shirley MacLaine, by the way. But anyway, people really go for this kind of stuff. It's so widespread. So what am I saying? This world, once you know what to look for, once you see all the wickedness all over and how permeated it is in society, in churches, in religion, in government, in schools, it actually will help us. The fact that it's so widespread will help us. What do I mean by that? Remember how the Bible says the dragon casts a flood out of his mouth? You can stand with me now if you want to. The dragon casts a flood out of its mouth to destroy God's people, but the earth opened its mouth. The earth helped the woman open its mouth and swallowed up the flood. See, the world has its mouth open today. They're swallowing up the flood of all of this New Age system, all this Antichrist system. They're gobbling it up. The fact that the earth is gobbling this up shows me there's something wrong with it. That's how the earth is helping the woman meaning the church. In a strange way, without knowing it, they're helping us. When I see this, it makes me want to serve my God. When I see how evil this is, it makes me want to dedicate my heart and my life to the Lord Jesus Christ more than ever before. And I think it should have that reaction in all of us. This stuff is repulsive, but we need to look at it. Because if we really are a Christian and really are a believer in Jesus Christ, it's going to make us stronger. That's why Paul said we're not ignorant of their devices. There's victory in that statement. We are not ignorant of his devices or Satan's devices. We know what he's up to. And that'll make us strong. Strong in the faith. Strong in resistance. Praise God. And mighty to serve our God, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And all this is going to burn up. And all of this is nonsense. Praise God for that. Now you might be saying, I'll just say this in closing, what do I do today and tomorrow if I don't celebrate all this stuff? Just stay busy fighting it. The Lord puts a real joy in your heart when you do that. He really does. I attest to that. It's a beautiful thing. People look at you like Ebenezer Scrooge, but he really wasn't so wrong, was he? Humbug. The thought for today. Praise God. We're going to pray and being dismissed. And I'm so thankful that the Spirit of God can reveal things to us so we can stand for the truth. Let's pray. Now, after I pray, I want you to know you're invited to come and pray here and stay longer if you want. Call out to God. Give your heart. If you're not a Christian today, give your heart to God. Don't wait. We are close to the end. People that you know, people that you're with, I'll tell you how to spend your time. Find somebody you can witness to, somebody you can talk to about the Lord. You'll stay busy. The Lord told me something a long time ago.